And his seed shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. I'm glad that God is leading us to Calvary and giving us more and more a revelation and the sight of what Calvary means. Calvary is the throne of the Almighty God, the cross which was meant to be a tree of shame, on which the Son of God died, became the throne of the universe, from which all his enemies received their death stroke. Thank God. He swallowed up death in victory on Calvary's cross. How very wonderful it was when Jesus stood before Pilate and he said, "I am a king." Pilate thought he was somebody. Jesus said, "You're nobody. I am a king." Oh, what a king is Jesus. But the Jews, the Israelites, didn't understand any more than the Judaizing Christians understand today. They're still looking for an exterior kingdom. You'll never know the kingdom of God until Jesus reigns in your heart. His heart had to bleed so that a way might be opened for you and for me to be united to God, to be reconciled to God. The Bible says he has opened a new and a living way by his own blood, which he has consecrated for us, whereby we draw nigh to God. And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. There was the valley. There was the mountain that was between us and God. And it was removed, and there was a great valley and a great way, and living waters issued forth from the heart of Jesus, because that is the heart of Almighty God. And he had to take upon himself the form of man. He had to receive a human heart in order to draw all human hearts to himself. Praise God, he's done that. Only God was able to do that. But when his heart poured forth his blood, he poured forth his life. And you know, my trip to, I always am tempted to say Holy Land. It ain't no Holy Land at all. My trip to Palestine opened my eyes in a new way to the wonder of it. I came to the place where thousands of tourists come today. And they come there to worship idols, to desecrate the holy places, to blaspheme God, although they don't mean to do that, but they do. You remember how the Israelites took the serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness? What a wonderful prefigure of the crucified Christ, of the one that should crush the serpent's head. And what did they do? The Bible says they worshipped it. Why, we think that'd be wonderful. My goodness, if the Pope had that serpent in his possession, what would he not do with it? He'd paint it with gold. He'd make people come from the ends of the earth and kiss it and put their money in the collection plate. Sure he would. Because he hasn't got that serpent, he takes the cross. And because he can't get hold of the cross, he makes one. And he takes the seven legs of the Balaam's ass and desecrates the tombs and digs up the dry bones and puts them in silver and in gold. And that's what they worship. And the thing that was so wonderful to me was the life of Jesus that kept pulsating in my heart all along the way, in Rome, in Jerusalem, in Athens, in Cairo, underneath the great pyramids. Everywhere the life of Jesus was with me. Everywhere Jesus Christ was on the throne of my heart. And he's here this morning. And unless you receive him as the king of your heart, you'll never know him. You'll never know salvation. That salvation when we can say, King of my life, when he becomes the king, not in the meeting alone, but in the kitchen and in the workshop. Upon every step of the way, when Jesus Christ really reigns, that's what he died for, that you and I might live unto God. Praise God. And if you and I don't live unto God, then Christ is dead in vain. And if we accept his gospel and then commit sin, we crucify the Son of God afresh. And that's what Christianity is doing every day today. Ignorantly, yes, we've been doing it too. But thank God, he is leading us to know this living and this true way. Praise God. And we draw nigh, as we heard, with confidence. I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. And that's why Jesus says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And if you want to please God, you must believe on him whom he has sent. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And he raised him again from the dead, that you and I might be dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what faith gives me. That's what faith brings to me. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ unites me to God, thank God. And I, who once was dead in trespasses and sins, now I have risen together with him. That's what that song means. Arise, my soul. Arise. Hallelujah. And how do I believe? The Bible tells me how. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Your heart is a very, very wonderful instrument, made by God. And when the Bible talks about the heart, it doesn't mean the muscle that we call heart. There is a natural body, and it's made of natural tissues, but there's a spiritual body too, thank God. This natural body is only the shell, is only the eggshell in which I live. The image of God lives. And Jesus came into this natural body in order to destroy sin in the flesh for all humanity. Look what God did through Adam the first. I said to someone recently when I was in Jerusalem, I saw all these Arabs and Jews and whatnot. Multitudes, the great stream of humanity. I said, the Lord sure started something when he made Adam and Eve. He did. That's where he opened the fountain. And all the 2 billion hearts in the world, they're all associated with Adam and Eve. That's where the clock was wound. You know, these clocks, all these clocks, are wound in the powerhouse. They're united to the power station, and they all run by that powerhouse, and they all run in 60 cycles a minute. And so your heart and my heart draws its life from Adam and Eve, the man and the woman whom God made in his image and commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply. He opened a fountain there. Adam and Eve didn't give us our life, but they gave us our physical existence somehow by the power of God that flows from that fountain. He has made of one blood all nations upon the earth. It's a mystery that no scientist can fathom. No one can understand. But we can stand in awe and say, I thank thee, God, because I am fearfully made. Fearfully. Put your hand there and feel the pulse. I'm fearfully made. What makes that thing move? What makes it tick? God makes it tick. God makes that heart tick because that's the power station that's united to heaven. In him we live and move and have our being. And when God gave us the last Adam, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when his feet stood on the Mount of Olives, that's what the prophet is talking about. When his feet, his nailed, pierced feet, stood on the Mount of Olives, there God stood, and he proclaimed his victory, and he raised his nailed, pierced hands in sight of his disciples, And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go into all the world and proclaim this gospel. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And then he was lifted up, and that's how the Father saw him. Hallelujah. He saw me in those graven hands, those pierced hands. Hallelujah. And Jesus took me and you right into the holiest of all and said, now, Father, I'm not coming alone. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. That's what I shed my blood for, Father. Glory to God. Oh, that's what makes that fountain of the water of life flow to the hinder sea and to the former sea, and everywhere millions of men and women rise from the dead by believing in their hearts that God has raised him from the dead. If there was power in Adam and Eve to fill the world with human beings, there's power in this living Son of God to fill heaven with sons of God. Praise God. He's great. He is wonderful. Praise the Lord. And we've got to get acquainted with the gospel as it is, and with Calvary for what it stands for. Oh, it stands for death and destruction of all that is of the devil and the flesh and the world. Praise God. When I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I cut myself off from Adam the first, and I become united to Adam the second. We talked about baptism the other day, and as this bread of life, or Jesus Christ, points out, the question is asked today, why do you baptize? The Pharisees came to Jesus, why does your master baptize? They came to John, why do you baptize? Well, why did Jesus step into the water? Why was he baptized? Because he associated himself with sinful humanity. He said, thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And anybody that wants to be saved is not going to ask what form of baptism, but he's going to obey God, and he's going to accept the counsel of God against himself, and he's going to be associated with the risen Christ. And that's what the baptism in the name of Jesus stands for, thank God. Buried with him, raised together with him, now to walk in newness of life. Oh, tell me, have you been plunged into this stream that flows today? Wherever I went, I found it in Rome, in Athens, in Cairo, in Port Said, in Jerusalem, everywhere where people believe in their hearts, Jesus manifests himself. He manifests his resurrection, life, and power. I stood in that meeting in Cairo. There was a wall in front of me so high that the men couldn't see the women. But here was a woman just received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And here was a young man who just received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You could feel it. I stood between the two. And here was the power of God. Here was this stream of life flowing into Egypt, that whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. Why don't they come? Oh, the devil has somehow succeeded to fill the world with false doctrine. Even in Christianity, what are the churches preaching today? What are the preachers preaching today? Why don't they preach the simple truth that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life? Praise God. Why don't they say, repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Praise God. But they do, and two of these Arabs, dressed in their Arabian costumes, they had their fez on their head, you know, to keep them on in the meeting. I don't know why. Just because the Jews do. Well, they got such a blessing, they grabbed hold of one another until they rolled out on the floor, just like you do. Hallelujah, when you're under power and you're blessed. I had a wonderful time there among those Bedouins, those sons of the desert. And after the meeting, then all the women with their black curly hair came, and they brought their curly-headed little piccaninnies to me. They couldn't talk to me, and I couldn't talk to them, but they just stuck them up into my face like this. They wanted me to put my hands on them. They had faith. They expected something from the Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank God, his feet, his feet, did stand upon the Mount of Olives. Some people say that's going to be fulfilled. Beloved, this has been fulfilled in all its fullness. It's being fulfilled today in all its power, in all its fullness. And unless you get hold of it, you're looking into the future in vain for some manifestation of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. He has stood there, and the mountain has cleft in two. Thank God it's gone. It's out of the way, and Christ comes forth today. And whosoever will may come and take. Oh, we've got to find out Jesus. Paul, they bothered him from every direction. They came around with their Judaizing doctrines and old wives' fables. He says, get away. I made up my mind not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. And what eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, God's got ready for those who love him. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, and in vain do you go and try to explain it to sophisticated heads. They'll never swallow it. They'll never get hold of it. God has hidden this thing from the wise and prudent. But listen, is the crucified your king today? He who stood before Pilate and witnessed a good confession, he has stood at the door of your heart and he wants to reign within your heart. Is he the king of your life today? Oh, is it really Jesus Christ? Do you love the crucified? Do you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Then there will be manifested in your life some of his resurrection power. There will be a life that's not of this earth. There will be a river that doesn't flow from any fountain on this world. It comes from the very heart of the Almighty God, and it's destined for you. Oh, the wonder of it. When Sister Henning spoke of it, I thought, my God, when are we going to wake up and realize what it means that Christ was made sin for us? What is his intention? What was the intention of the Father when he gave his Son for me? Why, the intention of the Father was to make out of me a son of God and out of you too. Not to fill the churches with hypocrites. Not to give us a crippled, half-hearted Christian experience. But to fill us with all the fullness of God. And we can only get it at Calvary. He says, if you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, that's where the fountain broke open. On Calvary, from the Mount of Olives. Glory to God. They closed, they shut the gates of the temple. They locked them tight, but from underneath the threshold burst forth a river in which you have to swim. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. God says, yes, have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Listen, Jesus reigns today. Do you know that? Do you know that he has all power in heaven and in earth? Do you know that the Holy Ghost has come forth to make you know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? And by that, he doesn't mean primarily power to cast out devils and to raise the dead. But it means his kingship, his authority to make his blessing go far as the curse is found. Where sin reigns, Jesus Christ will reign. Grace will reign much more abundantly if I accept Jesus. And now I can say, arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. The Father hears him pray, his well-beloved Son. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. The Spirit answers to the blood. Oh, I come by this new and living way. We have access with confidence by the faith of him. Let us therefore draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near. Beloved, we hang around on the outside. I wonder how many people in this meeting are satisfied to still be infested with sin. Many are, I know that. And they're satisfied that it cannot be otherwise. You don't let Jesus reign. He is king. Hallelujah. And he had to die in order to condemn sin in the flesh. That was the greatest act of the only king that was ever crowned, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died on the cross, he did not die as one that was conquered. He was not conquered. The Bible tells us that when he died, he cried with an exceeding cry. It was a cry of victory that shook the bottom of hell and burst the rock, praise God, and put the finish to the reign of the devil. Hallelujah! He said, it is finished! It was a cry of a victor, a cry of Almighty God that finished it. But Jesus finished it outside the camp. And he says, you can have your old temple. You can have your Jerusalem. You can have your idol worship. You can have your sin. You can have your flesh. You can have it all. But if you want me, you'll have to take my blood. You'll have to take my death, my resurrection. You cannot come to Jesus and not be cleansed from your sin. You can't. That gate is wicked and is narrow. And when you come to Jesus, you come because you want to be cleansed. Glory to God. Israel didn't understand that. That's why the Apostle Paul says they've got to come to him. That's how all Israel's going to be saved. Not by being naturally born from Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, but by coming to Jesus, by being grafted into this olive tree, which is clean and undefiled. That's how all Israel is going to be saved. And all Israel includes Gentiles and Jews alike. All who come to be born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as receive him, to them gave he power. And when I receive him, I receive the king. And when I receive the king, he reigns. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, the cross uplifted high, so that all the world might see. There's the Lamb of God to die. Can a sinner know the cost? Was it worth a love like mine that a king to save the lost paid the great price with life divine? You know, God has given me much joy and much, much blessing in preaching the gospel. But I find something. I find that the sword is becoming sharper as I go along. I want God Almighty to give me a clearer vision. I know Germany needs it. I know America needs it. Beloved, we need to drink the blood of the Son of Man. We need to become united to him. There will not be a resurrection from the dead until we count everything but refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, until we indeed forsake the things that are behind and press towards the mark and cry that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I might be made conformable unto his death. That's what the Holy Ghost works. Oh, to know Jesus. Oh, to be personal with the crucified Son of God. Oh, my Father, to receive him is a very, very, very personal matter. And here's Jerusalem. I stood on the Mount of Olives. I saw the city given to idolatry from one end to the other. And that city represents the whole world. God calls it Sodom and Egypt. All of religion has crucified the Son of God afresh. And listen, if you want to get saved, you got to go without the camp and bear his reproach. Jesus bore it. Jesus bore my sin into the grave, and he calls me and he invites me to be crucified with him, to be buried with him, and then I shall know what it means to be raised together with him and to live in newness of life. Oh, beloved, is it personal today? Do you love Jesus? Do you drink his blood? What does that mean? Drinking, drinking, drinking at the living fountain. Why, it's flowing today. It means waiting upon the Lord until he renews my strength. We heard last night someone quoted, or the night before, no, yesterday morning. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. It means all humanity is grass. All the glory thereof is as the flower of the field. And yet, how conceited we are, how proud we are,
of our attainments, of our gifts, of our talents, of our knowledge. God says it's grass. It's fitted for the oven, for the fire.
And only they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. There's in rapture. Oh, beloved, this is the time when we must make up our minds and we must make up our choice between the world with all its knowledge and wisdom and science and entertainments and religion and all its pomp and circumstance and the crucified Lamb of God. I made up my mind not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and they kicked Him out. All in Asia turned away from Paul. They didn't like him. He didn't publish a magazine. He didn't put his schnozzel in it. He had nothing to say but Jesus. He didn't talk about flying saucers and little men from Mars. Nothing like that. He kept telling them, get down! Get down! Humble yourselves! Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus! Let every one of you think the other better than himself. They didn't like that. Nobody likes it today either. A woman right in this assembly, she came to me, she said, I hate to be told to get down all the time. I want to be somebody. Well, she was one honest soul. I hope she'll wear a crown.